be like running after him. It'll be like one of those wireless mics with the dog. I'll be like, yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, he's gonna drag the recorder too.
I was in wireless mic, that's all.
Welcome to the next episode of Fujoshi NYC. Ray here.
May.
We're back in a quiet area. It's a special occasion today. We're actually recording a little bit earlier because next week's schedule is pretty bad for me. But May was gracious enough to let us record at her house again. Thanks, May.
Honda-san.
Yes. So unfortunately, we did watch the next episode of Takaichi, but we don't have the next episode for Honda-san, so we'll be able to talk about both of them during the following podcast. But instead of Honda-san, we have a lot more. We're gonna hit up a little bit more about Anime NYC. We'll talk about a movie we actually watched a little bit over a week ago. And some other stuff. We actually, the movie we watched a week ago was Liz and the Bluebird. There was a limited release. So we're going to chat about that. And then there's also K7 Stories. We, after NYC, we found out that Vudu released like the first four movies. So for us to watch. So we were able to see the first one. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Periodically, we're going to be able to catch up with all four of them. So May, let's start with like what have we been watching, just like our weekly stuff and playing.
Well, then next volume of Wolf Koi came out, so read a little bit of that.
Nice. Which volume are we up to anyway?
It's released 2-in-1, so I guess this, you can either consider this volume 3 or 5.
Okay. So it's an omnibus version. So the Japanese Hangoban, which volumes are there? It's like 3, 4, and 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, so it's 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Nice. I get it. Oh, okay. So they're releasing it too. Actually, that's a good size for it then. Yeah. You got the next volume. How much have you read so far?
I read not that far.
Any other tidbits, please feel free to share.
Well, I like this part where, well, she's not supposed to tell anybody they're dating. So these guys are like, oh, you guys get along together. But all you like are games. How do you get along? Because girls don't like games. And he's thinking, like, imagining her play. And then they're like, oh, she's got a lot of broad interests. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I see her reading sometimes. And he's thinking it's probably a BL novel.
How about playing? Because we know you have something special.
I do. I played Let's Go Pikachu some more.
Well, last time when we first started, like, we didn't have time. You only, like, just started playing because...
Oh, I still considered having just started playing. All I did was, like, pass Viridian City. Mm.
The graphics for Let's Go Pikachu looks really good, though.
Yeah. Well, so it's not one of the core games, so you don't... battle really. It's like you catch a lot of Pokemon, which I'm not really that into, but I like the exploring and stuff. Because it's like I don't really want to catch like 30 Pidgeys, but they keep saying you're on like
so they give you like a task list, like, you know.
I mean, no, it's just that you can keep catching them, so it'll say like you caught this many in a row.
Oh, okay. When you catch that many in a row, do you unlock any sort of like special gift or something like that?
I don't know. You probably just get more experience.
Oh, okay.
You're like rewarded with saying you caught this many in a row.
Oh, I see.
Because like now I feel like I have to waste a lot of money on Pokeballs. But because, yeah, in the core game, I just catch one of each and that's enough.
What's the connection between Let's Go Pikachu and the Pokemon Go mobile game?
I mean, the advancing is the same. You catch Pokemon.
Oh, okay. And I saw, like, the way that the circle thing, like, when you throw the Pokeball, looks similar, like you have the circle thing.
Yeah, that's why I like to use the Pokeball controller, because it's easier than tilting the Switch like this. That's why it's like hard to play portably, because you're going to sit on the subway going like this.
Or you go on a subway and start, like, you know, flinging your Pokeball around.
Yeah, that'll be better.
Well, May, you found an article about how Pokeball is such, like, confusing the poor dogs.
Yeah. Let's go find Yo-Yo and try it out.
Later, after the podcast, we'll give it a try. Right now, Yo-Yo is, like, happily on the bed. I don't think he wants to move.
Jojo doesn't fetch.
Jojo doesn't fetch. So you've been playing Let's Go Pikachu.
And I just bought Lost Sphere because 50% off.
Yay, Black Friday sales. Or go check out some more. Where'd you get Lost Sphere anyway? Amazon, Best Buy?
The Nintendo eShop.
Nice. On my end, there's been, since it's only been a few days since we recorded the last podcast, like the a lot of the new series hasn't come out yet. So technically, I haven't watched anything. I got caught up on work, that's for sure. So real life work is going to be pretty tough. Next week is going to be very busy, which is why we're doing this early. But so hopefully, like, you know, in the midst of next week when I'm working very hard, I'll be able to catch up on or like keep up with the anime series that I've been watching. There's also a couple of manga BL that I want to pick up on. And there's also BL, BL not movies, actually, that I was showing May that we hope to be able to watch in the future. Like, I Hear a Sunspot. The manga is being released here by, I believe it's called One Piece, PAC. That's the name of the publishing company that's releasing it. The quality of the manga is really good, like how the colors and how the book is made. And the story is about a guy who is slowly, like, you know, not being able to hear. And so he becomes friends with this other guy, and then they become very emotionally close. And that's like the growing of the relationship. It's a slow-going BL story, but it actually is a BL. It's So we'll see how that goes. And I didn't realize that there's actually a live action that came out in 2017. May, let's move forward to Anime NYC. One of the major things that affected us for this past weekend, not past weekend, but the last weekend, which was going to Anime NYC and trying to get all the autographs. Because NYC has the policy where in order to do autograph pickup, you have to go there early in the morning to get the autograph ticket. So on Friday, the doors open at 10 o'clock. And so people started lining up around 7. And this is like when it was like raining. And Thursday night was when it was like snowstorming. So there was a couple issues on Friday. We weren't able to get the ticket. Saturday, was able to get there earlier, but it was still not early enough for the pickup. And then so Sunday, I ended up having to wake up at 3 a.m. to get there. Not wake up, I'm sorry. Actually leaving the house around 3 a.m. Getting there around, like, you know, 4:40. And we actually finally got the autographs that we were able to get. But the main focus of the autographs for the weekend, the reason why that a lot of our tickets, the ones that we wanted, was to be sold out was actually because of the weekend of Annie Song. So May, the Annie Song concert that we attended was the Friday concert, the one with Nano, Konomi. I keep on calling her Konami by accident. Konomi.
Game company?
The game company. That's why when I first heard it, I was like, Konami. And then the key one thing is Konomi. And Luna Haruna and True. So, what do you think of the concert, May?
It's cool. I like concerts.
The concert was awesome. We were seated in the balcony area. But it was like a really good seat because we, because obviously the balcony is elevated, but it's on a slant, and we were at the location where we sat was actually that, like, you know, the people in front of us were already like a little bit lower, so there was like no heads blocking us. It was actually a really nice view, and we were sort of middle front.
So, like, seating like that, I'm never really sure about, like, because, so I feel like when something's, when they make the seats so that whoever's sitting in front of you will always be lower, like, that's how it was like in Frozen, but then the back is really far away, and it's hard to see them. I feel like in Anastasia, they don't do that. But then if somebody tall sits in front of you, you can't really see. But like when I went to, I sat in the very back one time, and nobody sat in front of me. So it was like a still good view.
I see. It really, but as you said, it depends on how the theater is built. As you said, like in Frozen, it was like very, very far back. It was like,
well,
very deep.
Because it's steep, because the seats are made so that you, no matter what, who sits in front of you, you'll be able to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Also for Frozen, I felt like we were very high up because they made it that steep. So it's like when we look down, we a lot of times, instead of seeing the actors' faces, we're seeing the top of their heads. So there's that view. But for the Hammerstein Ballroom, the Annie Song location was actually really good. It felt like a more intimate setting, because when I went to Annie Song in California, and of course the Annie Song that was held at Otakon last year, that one, because, okay, first of all, Otakon is totally different because it's not even stadium seating, it's just like auditorium seating. So there's the stage in the front and everyone's like playing level in the back. Yeah, so as long as people don't stand up like blocking everybody else's view, then we could generally see the stage. So that's why a lot of, sometimes for Otakon, we had to, like, you know, half the time sit and half the time sit, because everyone, a lot of people were standing in front of us too.
So the people in front of us didn't stand at the Anisong thing, which was,
yeah, good. So that was good. Or else we would have to stand as well.
Hey, you guys stand, I'm not gonna stand up.
Yeah, but as I said, like, the Hammerstein Ballroom is good. They cleared out all the seats. Occasionally they would have the seats in the front depending on which concert it is. So for music concert like these, there's no seats. So ground level, where all the VIPs and, like, you know, ground level area is just like you have to get there early in order to be as close as you can in the mosh pit. So there's that. And so one of our friends actually was in the VIP for the mosh pit for the Saturday concert. But I really enjoyed the concert. As I was telling May earlier, like, we chose this concert, me and Pearl, like, because of how much we are familiar with the singers. Because Luna Haruna and True does a lot of different series that, like, we hear so much of her music, their music from. And I got to know more about Nano. And because, like, the first time I heard Nano's music was for the series Kakuryo. And that series just, like, you know, recently ended during the previous 2 seasons ago, just like last season. So it was, like, really recent. So she did the second opening for that song. And I love that kind of voice, which is, like, you know, a deep alto, sultry voice. For a female, that's, like, you know, usually for pop music, we have the light QC voice, like Luna Haruna. So Nano is, like, you know, I really like that kind of song. Other singers like Nano, I compare her to, like, is Akira. She did a lot of Conan openings as well. So, also really dark and, like, you know, very cute. Very dark and, like, you know, I guess very deep and sultry. It's a lot of fun to sing too. So Nano's music, I fell in love with. And Konami, I didn't realize how much I knew of her songs, but it did come up. What are some of your favorite songs that you heard from on any song?
I like God Knows from Haruhi.
Nice. They sang both songs from Haruhi. Kakayake Girls. That was, I cannot pronounce it properly. There was that. And there's also, yeah, and God Knows. Oh, hold on. Kakayake Girls could be from K-On. So it's one of those two. Yeah. And, like, my favorite, ultimately, as I mentioned again and again, is Invoke. a song that Nano and Luna Haruna sings. Surprisingly, Luna Haruna was able to, like, you know, sing it out, because it's one of TMR's, like, most powerful songs. So that was from the Gundam Seed series.
Yeah, that's my second favorite.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, very familiar songs. That's why I love any song when they do collaborations, and then it's always a surprise about what they're going to sing. So, but of course, like, when Nano started singing, like, the second opening, I told you, of, like, Kakuryo, oh my gosh, I was like, that was so cool. I just started, was like, literally dancing in my seat. It's unfortunate that we can't attend both concerts like we could if we put in the money to. Because, or timing-wise, because the second concert on Saturday started at, what, 5 o'clock? So, that was a 5 o'clock concert. It was the middle. There was a lot of stuff that was going on around that time as well. I'm pretty sure around 5 o'clock we were either, there was a lot of events going on Saturday, so that we attended. But yeah, from the second Annie Song concert was Jam Project, Shoko Nakagawa, and Mori Musube. So it's kind of unfortunate that we didn't get to see, because in comparison to the Friday concert, Saturday concert was a lot of the more longtime singers that has been around for some time already, especially Jam Project and Shoko Nakagawa. It's like we've heard a lot of her songs everywhere. And of course, there's Mori Musume, so, which I'm not a really big fan of, but I'm familiar with her music. They've been around for a very long time.
Well, I like Nakagawa Shoko because she's like a big fan herself of all this anime stuff. Because, like, she had an album. I'm kind of sad it's not on iTunes, but, like, she had an album where she covered a lot of, like, songs that I heard already.
Yeah, and every time, like, whenever she has a blog on her Twitter, she would, like, post about what she's playing and what she's, like, doing. And usually it's, as you said, like, very much anime related. She definitely is one of the biggest. Like, Saturday is huge because between the fans for Jam Project, Shoko Nakagawa, and Mori Musume, it's like there are a lot. These are all, like, Friday is pretty minor compared to the Saturday one. I guess that's one of the reasons why they put that together. And I'm kind of sad because, like, my friend told me that the one of the seiyus, Toru Furuya, was present. Not on stage, obviously, because he's not one of the singers, but in the audience, probably in the VIP, like, you know, celebrity VIP area on the side, like, that he was actually present at the Saturday concert. And Jam Project is huge. Like, there's only two people from the Jam Project band, but for the two guys to be there, it's like, it's already really big. Yeah. They came to the States several times, many times already. So I'm happy that we were able to hear them at Otakon all those years ago. Anything else you want to add for any song? Anything I'm missing?
I don't think so.
Do you want to start with Takaichi or the movie?
Takaichi.
All right. So we were able to catch the newest episode for Takaichi. It is hilarious. I thought we might go back into, like, you know, continuing the story. Because, as I said, I don't know the mangas. I don't know how, like, the timeline, the storyline will go. But, as I said, last episode, we were, like, at a break somehow. Because we were just basically, like, you know, doing a flashback about how they met the first time. Azumaya and Saijo. But now, like, we're having sort of a crazy ass, like, you know, vacation time.
Everybody in Japan goes to Hawaii.
Everybody's in Hawaii. Even for some reason, a newlywed couple that they keep on bumping into is also in Hawaii. That's the most natural.
Okay. At first, I thought maybe they just, you know, they weren't speaking Japanese, but Narumiya understood them when they passed.
Exactly. So it's like everybody seems to be in Hawaii. It's not just Azumaya and Takato, as you mentioned. Narumiya is there. Ayagi is there.
That little mean dog.
The mean dog is there. Oh my gosh. Forget about Reiko. Reiko just, like, was put on the bus. Like, Ayagi keeps on trying to, like, you know, get in contact with that producer lady. And then it's like, nope, she's not answering his calls. Just wanted someone to doggy sit. And they're all there. And Narumiya is not just there. Narumiya is there with his classmates. It's like, what school does he go to that actually has, like, you know, you can go to Hawaii as a vacation. It's like, some, what kind of celebrity school do you attend? Because, like, you know, for high school trips, people go to Kyoto, they go to Okinawa, they want to go farther. They don't go travel out the country. It's like, what kind of, like, celebrity school? Damn, that's expensive. Hawaii, yo. But yes, everyone is there, and everyone is making their point to interrupt Azumaya's date with Takato. Saijo's just like, I want to go around, I want to relax. And then this angel, this molesting angel, just appears.
Why does Saijo make, like, this sexy kind of face every time something happens to him?
Every time he gets knocked down, or, like, something surprising, he just, like, his shirt opens up. Which is natural, because they are on a beach, and he is actually technically shirtless. Ayagi got really close to him at that time. I was, like, waiting for Azumaya to, like, push him off at the very, very moment. Like, the very beginning. But I guess, like, you know, the creators wanted, like, tease us a little bit. There's so much, like, so many guys we compare Narumiya with. We compare Narumiya with Ayagi, obviously, because they bumped into each other.
Yeah, they have cool interactions with each other.
It's hilarious, because Narumiya is, like, always there, like, innocently, like, you know, inserting himself into all these situations. Like, joining in on a volleyball game that Ayagi doesn't even want to do, and Narumiya is like, I'm just eating ice cream here. I like that. But not only Ayagi, Narumiya seems to have a Megane guy all to himself, too. One of his classmates, one of his friends. We got a lot of Megane characters in this episode. And none of them have any sort of, like, expanding, like, you know, character or personality trait outside from the fact that they wear glasses and they have, like, really, really strong seiyus.
Why? Who does the seiyu for the photographer?
For the photographer, I don't think so. But I mean, like, his voice is, like, what's the word? It's so bland that it's, like, it stands out even at itself. It sounds emotionless. That's basically it.
Does somebody good to his friend?
I don't know. Well, I don't even... I guess, and I'm not, like, using the description properly. Meaning that because the three Megane characters are so... the only thing that we can say that their similarity, they all wear glasses. The other thing is that their personality, they're not personality, their voice actors are very different. So, like, the one I would say is the most, like, forgettable, obviously, would be Narumiya's, like, friend. Like, he doesn't seem to have, like, you know, any sort of, he doesn't have that many lines anyway. Yeah. But, like, we have, like, one after the other. Obviously, the one that stands out the most is the one where later we're going to find out is Takato's, like, friend. But getting back to Azumaya and Saijo's attempted dates. Azumaya planned out so many things to do with Saijo. But I think, like, the only thing that he wants them to do is to go somewhere and just, like, spend time together without anyone to interrupt them. I'm surprised they just, like, don't put him into, what is the word? Don't put him into a hotel room and just leave him there.
Well, they could be in a hotel anytime. They're in Hawaii.
That's true. Okay, so yes. So obviously he's not going to, like, you know, put him into a hotel. Instead, they go to a deserted island. So in a hotel, they have a deserted island. I've been waiting for him to be on a deserted island and just do something. Like, you know, attack him or something like that. It took him the entire episode to do that. What do you think Azumaya should have done with to get Saijo by himself?
Well, what he did do was take him for a walk.
You mean to the aquarium?
To the beachy part. And they're like, oh, I don't know where the path is.
The path that disappears when you don't pay attention to it.
The path he purposely wandered off of.
Yes. I need to see the manga version, because I'm pretty sure immediately, it's like, they were teasing us so much during that part. They were, like, teasing us as in, like, oh, are they going to do it? Yes, they are. But since it's a TV series, they have to do it that way. But I'm sure in the manga, like, within a couple of panels, they're just going to be, like, closed off. They're going to have sex on the beach. I thought they were going to do that very beginning when, like, you know, Azumaya pulls, like, Saijo aside. it's funny because we get to see Azumaya's wings appear at different points in time. And every time, like, someone interrupts them, his black wings comes out. Like, at a point where he's, like, trying out different type of mints to try to cool down, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of mints those are. Those are, like, really large mints. I wonder if they picked them up in Hawaii.
Are they not the same ones he's always carrying around with him?
No, those are, like, little tablets. Like, these ones are actually, like, really large, like, you know, large mints. Because, like, you can see when they put it on. Not to mention the container that he holds is different. It looks like it comes from a tube. So it looks, like, much larger. While the ones that he usually munches on are, like, you know, smaller tablets. So he crunches mints when he's upset. Poor Azumaya. But as we were talking about before, like, going on ahead, in the latter end of the episode, we got to see so much, several different new characters come in. Well, not really new, because we already met the photographer character before. Except that, I don't know, they're hinting that he may be a threat before, but he seemed to be disinterested in them.
Well, and like, because he's just like, oh, those just two men, or like, whatever.
Yeah.
He doesn't know they're famous because they're wearing stuff.
Oh, I didn't get that. I thought that he recognized them, except that he was just saying like, oh, they're just two guys. It's not like they're doing anything. Oh, okay. Your perception of the scene is most likely right. Because they were wearing disguises. I kind of feel like it's sort of like Conan. We have like three Megane guys, and I wonder which one of them are going to be the one that's, you know, more important. Aside from Narumiya's friend. I think it's either going to be like the photographer guy or, you know, the other guy, the one that I thought was Munakata. Anyone share about the Takaichi?
No, it's a really cute episode. It's like, here's some fun stuff before all the shit hits the fan.
Pretty much, because I feel like it's going to... Because we already had one break episode. The flashback was a break episode. This episode was like... You know, might as well, like, behind the scenes kind of thing, but it's just, like, them on vacation. Oh, and it's, like, hilarious. Yeah. But now, like, I'm pretty sure the next episode is going to be, like, them getting back to business. Hmm. Which episode was this one? Was it 7?
8.
It was 8. Ah, so definitely within, like, 12 or 13 episodes. So, yeah, four more. I'm going to see what they're going to bring up next. Can't wait. Then we're going to have all the angst that you're looking forward to.
No, that's not the... is what I want.
You want, like, Saijo to be injured and Azumaya, like, nursing him back to health kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. We will see. Hey, they are actors, though.
I mean, I already looked at the comic. I know it's coming up.
Fine. Well, disappointment aside, we'll put that. We'll see what how they animated it. By the way, I will have one comment about the animation. There was like about 5 seconds where they were walking, which is they're not walking at all.
I was like thinking, oh, maybe it's a scene from a movie.
Yeah,
it's actually they'll pan out and it'll be like a gigantic picture
and there. They'll be walking on a treadmill or something because they weren't moving. Even they were walking across this gigantic picture, they were
like the K-stage play.
Oh my god, yes, the K-stage play where they ran standing still. Yes,
ran from jungle was running from the
giant cat.
Yeah,
damn, that was so bad. I was like, we were trying to avoid all this bad animation and already this another one popped up. Overall, I'm sure like they put all the animation quality into Saijo's expressions when he gets pushed down, because those are really sexy expressions. He's gotta like, you know, he really needs to control like how he like his eyes and his watery look. It's almost like every single time he does that is like, take me. He's like seducing all the guys. Azumaya's not gonna have it. All right, the K movie. We watched the first of the 7 stories K movie, R:B. It's really good because it just basically shows, like, you know, set the meeting between Munakata and Mikoto. So Miyakoto obviously has been king for a short period of time, but then after that, Munakata, like, you know, he's finally, he's the one that becomes established as the next blue king. So we get to see, like, a little bit of how Mikoto feels about his powers and how he's handling them. And the focus of the movie, though, is more on how Homura and Scepter 4 are coming to, you know, work with each other or against each other, which is, like, how they're taking it the first time. Yeah. At the beginning, Kusanagi's like, you guys should, like, you know, we should keep a low down, work together. Yata is saying, like, there's been some things going on with the younger, the newer... Well,
Fushimi said that.
Well, yeah, yeah, that Fushimi. Fushimi was the one who mentioned, like, there are, like, some of the newer Homura clansmen came in, are abusing their power, they're picking fights with other people. I wish they kind of understood that or knew that from the beginning, because the only test that they have is hold Mikoto's hand. Yeah. If you can pass the fact that you're going to hold Mikoto's hand long enough for the power to enter into you, then you pass.
Don't be afraid of the fire.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be afraid of Mikoto. Don't be afraid of his fire. It's not exactly... I'm sure it's painful, but I'm like, it's not exactly, like, that difficult. Like, people have passed that test. Yeah. And it's like... Yeah, but it's like for them to be part of, you know, the Homura family. Because Homura's family seems pretty cool. So, like, they're very laid back. They, like, support each other. So, and as, like, Kusanagi and, like, has mentioned before, Tosuka, I'm sure, mentioned before, that Homura takes up a lot of, like, vagrants that, you know, are searching for, like, you know, searching for help, searching for that kind of support. And Homura's, like, opening its doors for them. Yeah. So, unfortunately, Yata and Fushimi is trying to deal with that. With the the oncoming creation of Scepter 4. Not creation, what's the word? Like, the reformation, like, you know, with Munakata as the head.
They're still such a great pair.
Even back then, no, it's, like, so sweet to see their relationship together. Because Mizaki and Fushimi have, like, you know, because this is the time where Fushimi is, like, you know, still with Homura, mm-hmm. still with Yata, and...
Well, I say still just because I know Fushimi doesn't like any of this.
Yeah, because he was already uncomfortable, but he's only doing it because of Yata. But you can see, like, in this one, there is no... Yeah, Misaki wouldn't have known that Fushimi was uncomfortable because he's very good at hiding his feelings. And his main point of it... And when Fushimi is with Homura, you can see, like, how much he's trying to support it. He's, like, he's making really good points. Yeah, and he's, like, you know... That, you know, the younger clansmen are, like, you know, causing trouble and they need to do something about it. And then, like, Fushimi is standing by Misaki's side. And, like, whatever Misaki says, like, you know, Fushimi feels like it's, like, he agrees with that. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how the entire turnaround works. Like, you know, what happens later on. Yeah, it's kind of sad. But it shows, like, how much, like, Fushimi really tried to, like, you know, fit in with Misaki, trying to, like, you know, support them. Yeah, how much they're together. Yeah, because Yata's like, let's go. I'm going to cause trouble, even though Kusanagi told me not to. I'm going to go question them. And then Ms. Fushimi's like, okay, let's just do it. In a way, I feel like, I know how, because later on we find out how Fushimi really feels about Mikoto. But in a way, like, I feel like Fushimi does, like, he's obviously, Misaki's only a forefront in his mind. But I'm sure, like, in some way he does, like, you know, feel connected with Kusanagi or Totsuka. Because, like, you know, how he speaks with them, it's not, like, with contempt. Because
he still respects them.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big part. And we get to see Mikoto, like, you know...
Well, I'm sure he probably thinks Totsuka's an idiot, but still respects him, like Munakata.
Oh, I guess. Wow, I never thought about that, like, equating, like, how he respects Munakata with how he respects Totsuka. I feel like Tosuka's, like, main purpose in Homura is to, like, you know, put a, like, stop to Mikoto's, like, you know, I will go crazy and control my power kind of thing.
I wonder how Munakata and Tosuka would get along.
It's so unfortunate. I feel like they would get along very well. Because Tosuka's, like, it's all Tosuka's part. Because Munakata's just going to be Munakata. But Tosuka's going to be, like, all friendly and, like, you know...
Have weird hobbies.
He's like, oh, Blue King, I want to take a picture of you. Smile for the camera. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I think he's just the type to get along with everybody. That's why like the internet like dubbed him like the cinnamon bun, the innocent cinnamon bun that just had to get killed, because like he's like too good for this world. Yeah. And every time I hear his voice, like I see Shion from Number Six, which is just basically that kind of personality. Shion from Number Six was like really innocent, and they're done, as I said, by the same voice actor. But Shion was like Number Six series took place like much younger, so he was like 16 years old in Number Six. So Shion's voice as Tatara in K is, I feel like, is a little bit older. So this is what K, like Shion, will sound like when he's older. Yeah, he can still sound like that because Shion thankfully is not dead in Number Six. I love that series. So we get to see more about Fushimi. We get to see, like, you know, how Fushimi and Misaki are together. I'm glad they didn't animate up to the part where Fushimi left. Because, you know, I feel like that would have undercut, like, the, you know, the growing relationship, the starting of between Munakata and Mikoto. Yeah, because that's actually the focus, obviously, red versus blue. That was, like, the focus of what the movie is. I love how they ended it, though. Ichigen just...
At the council?
At the council. Spoiler, Ichigen just appears. And Gold King is like, you guys gotta get along. Because I said so. There is a rule. I put in the rule. It says protocol, blah, blah, blah. 120, I think.
Yeah, we have a council here.
We have a council. Everyone has their own spot. And everyone bought their lieutenants.
Ichigen didn't seem to be there with anybody.
Yeah. I wonder if that means Kuro or Misakuji has not been around since, like, for that point. Because we never really see Ichigen anywhere. He's, like, only been talked about. But we have to remember, like, I had to remember, like, he is the colorless king. He's the first one. Yeah. Which is kind of ironic because if you think about it, in the beginning of the K series, Kuro was trying to kill Shiro, which was basically the new colorless king, because he was the one, the new colorless king was
He thinks he's the colorless king, even though he's actually the silver king, because they swapped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he just wanted to kill the person that, like, you know, was.
I think, was it that when Ichigen died, he told Kuro the new colorless would be evil or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. Like, I really need to see the first, like, you know, the first series again. Because now that we know how, like, everything fits into place, a lot of the little hints that they prepared, it's like, oh, that's why. Yeah. Wow, Tokyo is really tiny. Shimizume, with everyone, like, knowing each other and seeing how this thing goes. But yeah, everyone's tied together anyway.
Well, part of me was beginning to wonder if this town is, like, real even in their universe, because it only ever mentions Shizume.
They don't remember anybody else or any other thing.
It's like Night Vale. Can't leave
Shizume. Can't leave this area. Outside world is going on in a totally different, like, you know, universe. You know, Tokyo, Japan is the center of the world. Well, there's no... Shizume is also a created city, so... I mean, the name of it. But they did choose, like, a city in Tokyo.
I named my home in Maple Story, too.
Like, some parts of Shizume is also in Shibuya. That way I know, because, like, they go to Shibuya Crossing a lot. So there's, like, you know, I can see, like, landmarks. There's Shinjuku, Asakusa, sometimes Odaiba. Yeah. Japan looks like that. Except minus the blue. It's not so blue. So, in comparison to the last two movies, Blaze actually ended really, really positively. Well, no one passed away, so everyone is still alive. Even Ichigen is still alive. Yeah. We're going to continue and see, like, you know, the following movies one by one. Originally, we were going to start with Lost Small World, but I was like, we're going to love Lost Small World. I'm going to cry over it anyway.
Oh, we saw this stage play, which is like the full Lost Small World story, I think. I don't know if they animate entirely all the pieces.
Yeah, considering it's only been 1 hour, because each of these movies are only an hour, I don't think it's like enough time for it. So I guess we're going to see, like, what part they kept and what part they, like, took out. But like you said, like, the Lost Small World stage play does cover a lot of what's in the novels. So looking forward to that. But yeah, as I said, like, I wanted to save, I was thinking about watching it first, but then I wanted to save that for last because it's going to be one of my favorites anyway. But you know what's one thing I found out that I just realized what's missing from this movie? Idol K.
Unless they just don't do it for the streaming one.
I guess so. But yeah, because Idol K is a short segment. I don't remember how long it was. I think it was less than 10 minutes, I know.
Well, because like when you buy a movie or something, the main feature is the movie. And then I think the short, like, you know the short where Yata's a monkey and Fushimi's a penguin?
Yeah.
That was that shown at the movie when you went?
I'm trying to remember because I think it was. I don't remember though, but I feel like it's something that I remember seeing, but it's something that they created just for the Missing Kings movie.
Yeah, that's why I feel like that's also a short that wouldn't be the main feature. So if you only play the main feature, it's not going to show that.
Oh, I guess we're gonna have to wait for the DVD release, the Blu-ray release for it. That's okay. We'll find out about the Idol K one. So for Nozaki-kun, we watched the next episode, and it's hilarious because Nozaki, it kept on saying that he doesn't have a hobby. His drawing is a hobby, and Sakura is trying to get him to do something fun, but on their quote-unquote date, except that it's not really a date, it turned into... It's like everything that Nozaki could think about to turn that into research. I feel like this entire episode, because not just the first part, it's like second part too. Like second part of the one where Mikoshiba is like, what's the word? Modeling.
Oh.
Yeah, posing with those aggressive girls. It's like Nozaki appears and he's like, yeah, I want to do some sketching too. And it's still just for research for like future sake.
So what comic is he planning?
For that one?
Ten timing.
The Kai 10 timing girls. 10 of them.
Damn.
It's probably going to be a one short. Because I don't think it's going to be in the same universe as Suzuki and Mamiko.
Suzuki's ultra popular friend.
Who somehow 10 times 10 different girls. And they're all, fighting over him. Or fighting him, I don't know. I don't know whether or not they're trying to attack him. From his sketch, it looks like they're attacking him. So maybe, the cover that he created with Mikoshiba in the middle might just be a cover of that one shot. Yeah, maybe he needs a break from all the shoujo madness. But going back to the first part... Sakura Nozaki-kun decides to go on a quote-unquote date. They go see a movie. They go eat at a restaurant. They go shopping for clothes. Except that is not what it is.
Takes pictures of food because Suzuki might eat this food.
Go take, watches a movie because they get to see different
angles of the
building. Room. Yeah. I was like, do you really need to go watch a movie for this? Like, can't you just go to a building and take pictures? Because I know it's like, that's what people do. And not to mention that that movie in itself does it look like a horror? It kind of looked like a horror.
Well, it looked like it could be one of those like catastrophe films. So I don't know about horror.
Oh, okay. So catastrophe. Like, I know people on the poster looked pretty alarming. Like, oh no, shock, that kind of thing.
Well, I forgot what movie, what the title was, but I saw this movie with Shibasaki Ko and a guy from SMAP. It was the only reason I watched it. Not because of the guy from SMAP. Shibasaki Ko. Yeah, and she's a firefighter in it, and she's really cool. But that was like a movie where there's a bunch of earthquakes and Japan's just collapsing in on itself or something.
Oh no. It's one of, yeah, as you said, a disaster movie. So Nozaki goes and watches a disaster movie, catastrophe movie. I love Sakura's expression coming out of that movie. It's like, we're supposed to be watching some sort of romance. But I'm sure even if it's a romance movie, Nozaki would be like, well, how can I put this into a shoujo romance? like, what can I do to fit this in? The food wise was pretty cute too, because like as soon as the food appeared, I was like, oh, they went to a fancy restaurant, because I was so thinking before they were going there at that McDonald's or something like that, because you know they might go that route, like, you know, I'm gonna go eat at McDonald's.
Suzuki's gonna go to a restaurant.
Yes. What kind of money does he have?
Maybe he saved up for this date.
Maybe it's like one of those like cheap ass like family restaurants, like Saizeria or something like that.
Well, isn't Seo always buying Waka food or something?
Oh, that's true. Damn. Really expensive. Yeah, so, and then after that, they go shopping for clothes. Except that for some reason, he picks up a Seifuku.
Is this like a costume shop?
Yeah, for example, because like, I'm, as you mentioned before, like, you can't just pick up school uniforms from anywhere.
For a school that you don't go to.
For a school that you don't go to. That's first for sure. Like, because school uniforms are usually bought at a certain shop that you have to, like, you know, that sells school uniforms. Each school, like, is probably, like, you know, contracted with one or two shops, and that's it. You go there, you tell them, you have to give them your name, you have to give them your student ID, and you can only buy a certain number. You can't buy more than that. Because people can't just, like, you know, buy the school uniform and go to school by accident, you know? Yeah. So safety for the children. So, yep, you can't just go pick up school uniforms. Because I asked that question. When I was there, I asked, like, the teachers, like, how do school uniforms, like, get purchased and stuff. And they're like, I can't purchase one. I'm like, okay. I did not tell her that I wanted to use it for cosplay. I was just telling them for curiosity's sake. In any case, so they go to a shop that has some sort of seifuku for some reason, maybe some sort of design. And I love, like, the comments from the other people, the spectators, like, not spectators, the shop owners probably, or the shop workers are like, oh, this is so cute. This couple, the guy is, like, choosing out outfits for the girl.
I think they were just passersby, because once Shinozaki started being like, can I take a picture of you in it, they walked away.
Yes. Whoever these ladies were. Yes, and that's basically our expression too. I was like, why are you asking her to do this? Hentai. And in the next part, where he tries on the outfit, I was like, if you're not going to wear it, I'm going to wear it.
Wait, shouldn't he know that he doesn't fit that size?
Yeah, he should have just bought a bigger size. Hopefully they have a bigger size.
Well, it didn't. Well, if it's a costume shop, I guess it's possible.
That's true. It doesn't look like a costume shop, though.
Then he wouldn't have been able to buy that uniform.
You know, Nozaki's not very smart.
But he did buy it.
He did buy it. For Sakura to wear. So he can take pictures. I was so thinking that he's going to ask Miko Shiba to wear the outfit.
Yeah.
We were so waiting for that. And I'm sure, like, the creators, like, did that, too. It's like, yeah, he's going to wear the outfit. Nope. Aw.
Boy, they were like, oh, it's awkward seeing him here buying figures, but I feel like that's normal. What Nozaki was doing wasn't normal.
Chopping their arms and legs and so that they can see their ears. When he was talking about the figure that has, like, you know, no clothes and everything, I knew it was going to be an artist mannequin because I have one of those. But then it's like when he said there was no face on it, I was like, oh my god, that is pretty scary. And then he wants to draw the median lines on it so he can, like, pose them properly. But I thought, like, if he had figures, then, yeah, that would have been a lot easier. Like, so you can see how clothing fits on a person and everything. He doesn't have that Sakura to wear. He just put it on the clothes. Ozaki, don't think of these things. I love that Miko Shiba just, like, throws them out of the shop, though.
And Sakura.
Both of them. And like, Sakura's like, I didn't do anything wrong. Nozaki's the crazy one. But even throughout it all, no matter, like, how Nozaki gets, Sakura's still, like, you know, pining inside. It's like, what happens if he's actually doing this because he cares? Nope. It's like, he must have some feelings. Nope.
I don't think he feels stuff.
He doesn't feel stuff the same way that people feel stuff, huh? Yeah, his feelings are somewhere else. Manga first. And then we have the second half where Miko Shiba is, like, becoming a model for the art club.
She turns Sakura down.
he turns Akira down. But then when other people ask him, his so-called princeliness comes out. Except he's not a prince character, but he's like, you know, his playboy style comes out.
He says the things he doesn't mean to say.
Yeah, just so like he can like fit that image. He wants to be like Kashima. Except Kashima's for reals. Yeah, that was so funny though.
I like at the end where Nozaki's like, oh, when he gets comfortable, he'll you know, speak normally, but there's a danger point because
he becomes so relaxed that he'll say things.
Not relaxed enough that he'll just say stuff he even normally wouldn't even say,
like offer to pose nude.
Yeah, because he's caught off guard or something.
That's not caught off guard.
Yeah, I guess that kind of too relaxed.
But. Damn, like everyone would be naked in front of a room for girls. Save him.
I like how she's like, if you know this, why didn't you stop him?
And Nozaki's like, instead of that, tell me when he actually does. Because I want to come and draw. I was like, Nozaki, why don't you just get Miko Shiba into your house? And so you can just like have a one-on-one section with him. Mm-hmm. Session. One-on-one session. Mm-hmm. The different kind of poses that the girls get him to do is hilarious.
Yeah, like how Nozaki's like, oh, you normally wouldn't have poses I'd be interested in.
Exactly.
Except give me an application.
Yes. And then he just continues to draw the 10, like, you know, the 10 person. That'd be interesting manga to read.
It sounds like it would be a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
What if it's a BL?
Then it'll be Gaku in Heaven. Because that's what we Gaku in Heaven, except Keita is not 2-timing or 10-timing all those guys.
He's just friends with the rest of them, depending on the storyline he's in.
Yeah. But all the guys are like trying to seduce him, though. So he can get around to that.
Takato isn't a dating sim.
Huh?
Saicho isn't a dating sim.
You mean like, oh. You mean for Takaichi? Yes. And he gives on like tripping into hearts, like tripping into events for other people except for Azumaya. He's got to choose the right things, like not drink in front of them. You're gonna trip into an event whether he wants to or not. So how do you feel, May? We're actually, this is our 6th episode.
Hungry.
We're gonna get some food later on. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll stay tuned for next week. Later.
Two booksellers.
Look forward to it. See you next week.
Bye.